All right, good evening. So nobody gave me any suggestions or topics for this week, so I went ahead and picked one. So if you don't like it this week, it's your fault. But as you all know, we started a new year this week, 2014. And depending on how you look at it, some people say a new year, new opportunities, new adventures, or like I told my wife, we were talking at midnight, I said, one more year closer to being a hole in the ground. Yeah. But lots of people now are making resolutions, goals, they're evaluating their life, and what do I want to change this year? What do I want to do the same? So a lot of people are doing that kind of thing. And this week, it was kind of by accident. I actually made a resolution myself. I was at home doing all the laundry, and I'm folding up underwear. And all of a sudden it hit me. Why am I doing this? Why am I folding underwear? Who cares if it's wrinkled? So I made a resolution. I will never fold another pair of underwear ever again. It's going to save a lot of time in my life. I'm just telling you. But, you know, lots of people, you know, the gyms are going to be jam-packed for the next 3 weeks. Everybody makes New Year's resolutions. I heard one guy say, I'm going to uncover my hidden six-pack this year. You know, which mine's not going to stay covered, but you know, people make resolutions like that. Fitness resolutions. I want to have a more organized home. I want to quit smoking, or I want to get out of debt, or eat better, or travel more. People like to travel, but lots of year where people take an assessment, they set goals, they make commitments, and that's a good thing. Setting goals. Setting goals is a good thing to do. It gives you direction. And structure and order, even, you know, the book of Daniel. Daniel starts the book of Daniel. He purposed in his heart that he was not going to eat the king's meat. He didn't want to defile him. He made a plan and he had a goal. Add into a big dieting fad called the Daniel. Big book. You know, if you read Daniel, it was nothing about losing weight. He did not want to eat the pagan king's meat, but you know, whatever, you're going to make a buck. But as Christianity, as Christians go, a lot of times we bounce around from circumstance to circumstance and where's God in all this, you know, that kind of attitude. So we really don't have plans or goals because a lot of Christians will say, well, God's just in control and he's going to do this and that and move me around. So they don't have goals. And it's good for Christians too. Set goals, because if you don't have a goal, you don't have direction, you don't have purpose, and you don't know how to set your priorities. And Christian living, the Christian life should not be about just bouncing from circumstance to circumstance, not knowing what's going on and why this is happening or what I'm doing. It's not like that. If you turn real quick to Acts 19, we're not to be ignorant and just floating around, not making plans, and not knowing what we're doing. In Acts 19:21, Paul's making a plan. He said, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when I get through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must see Rome. So he's got his next four or five trips planned where he's going. He's got a plan, and he's got goals, and he's got a purpose. And that's good to have, but you know, for most of the world, it's, you know, goals are great, and I'm glad you did that, but what's the point? And I was reading this week, this will be most of the verses we'll go through. Turn back to Ecclesiastes. I just happened to be reading this week, and, you know, when I was a child in school, the school had turned this section into a song. You know, that was 30 years after the Byrds recorded it as a song, but we didn't sing the turn, turn, turn part, I don't think. But let me find Ecclesiastes. You younger guys may not have ever heard this song, but it was recorded on the radio I believe it was in the 60s. Yeah, it was during the Vietnam War. Well, let's just read through it here. This will all be very familiar. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, and a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. That pretty much sums up life on planet Earth, I would think. You know, a time for all those things. You know, it's great, and it turned out to be a catchy song. But it's funny when you got these hippies, these stoned hippies in the 60s, coming to their Bible, and they did the same thing with their Bible that a crooked preacher will do. They proof texted. And what they did was they came to the Bible with their agenda. They were anti-war guys. They wanted peace. So they had a time for war and a time for peace, and that's what we're going to do. They end the song, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late. Turn, turn, turn. That was their agenda. But what happens, they proof text it, just like preachers do. But what happens when you proof text is you pretty much guarantee you're not going to get the meaning of the passage. You're going to just miss it completely. Because you came to it with your agenda. You didn't come to it to see what it was actually talking about. And that's what happens with proof texting. It forces you to miss the point. But all that stuff, all that, it's a time to this and a time to that, and war and peace and rent and so, there's a point to what the Bible's saying here. And the point didn't make it into the hippie song lyrics, and it didn't make it into the song that I sung as a kid, but the point comes right after it. He says in verse 8, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time... Now, right after that, you get the relevant question. Didn't make it into the hippie song. Didn't make it into my song as a kid, but here's the next question. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What's the point? What profit does he have in all this? You know, you're on this planet here, and it's spinning around, and you got the rending, and you got the sowing, and you got the planting, and you got the love, and it's just turn, 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 every year, on and on and on again. One generation comes, another generation dies away. What's the point of all of it? He says, what profit hath he in that he worketh, in that wherein he laboreth? You know, let's say you set your goals. You set your my goals for 2014. I am going to uncover my six-pack. I'm going to get free and organized home. I'm going to travel more. I'm going to eat better. All that stuff. What profit do you get out of it all? I mean, what good is it? I mean, we could tell ourselves stories about, well, you know, it's good that you set a goal and then you kept the goal and you did the work and you persevered and you taught yourself to perform. But at the end of the day, what good is it? I mean, it's what do you have really? Do you have anything that's lasting? I got my six pack. Well, guess what? I got to maintain it. Or it's going to go away. I'm going to eat better. Well, I feel a little bit better, you know. But so what? I'm still headed for a hole in the ground. Times Ecclesiastes, one of the things you need to remember about this book is a lot of times interesting with God's wisdom, reading things and questions being put as from a man's perspective. But you know what, you just think about all the work you do every day, every week, and going to work and buying this and feeding them and all the things you're going through and all the machinations of daily living. And what do I get out of it? What's the point of all this? And if you read on here in Ecclesiastes, drop all the way down to verse 18. You're looking for a... Verse 18. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one, so does the other, so dieth the other. They have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of a man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward on the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better. What's the best I can get in this life with all my work and all that? What's the greatest thing? That I can rejoice in my own works. For that is his portion. You think of Alexander the Great. He's in the history books. The greatest conqueror in all the world. A 33-year-old man. He's riding his white horse in front of his armies, conquering all the empires of the world. And what does he get for it? Gets to enjoy it for a few months and then croak. What good was all of it? All the planning, all the genius and the brilliance and the bloodshed and the effort and the machinery. I got an empire for a while. Now I'm dead. What's the point of it all? It says right there at the end, for who shall bring him? What shall be after him? Who's going to bring you to your post-funeral memorial service as they dedicate the park in the town square to you after you're dead? Nobody. You're gone. It's over. And it's a pretty sad state of affairs when you think about it. You know, younger guys, you're on the way up. You know, you're invincible. I can't wait to grow up. I can't wait. I want to get, I want to be an adult. And when you get there, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, let's slow down here. Because you start to see it's going to end. I'm going to die. That's Ecclesiastes. The best you can get in this vanity is enjoy the works of your hand for a little bit while you can, because you can't after you're dead. And that's vanity. You think about it, to stop, you have to stop the day-to-day and just sit and think. Nothing lasts. The grave always wins. Every time. It just, everything goes away. I think about, the president. We look at something and say, I built that. I did that. And now I'm dead. And I can't enjoy that anymore. Look at that thing I created. Isn't it wonderful? And now it's falling apart because of age and time. And you think about your children. I did a great job as a parent. I reared wonderful children. And they're dead soon too. Everything, just death and vanity. What about if you're into philosophy or thinking, aren't my thoughts life and reason and this, aren't they right? Genius, and nobody's going to care pretty soon because you're going to be dead. Most everybody does not make it into the history books. And it's just, we're all marching slowly towards a hole in the ground. And we can't stop it. And that's just so, it just seems so, and worthless. And, there's a song by a guy named John Mayer. He's that kind of ugly guy that always gets the Hollywood cuties to date him and then he dumps them. But he's got a song called Stop This Train. Let's just draw Thomas there. Thomas the Train. And the train in the song is life. I want to stop this train. I want to get off, because he sees his parents getting older and he knows they're going to go soon. And he's like, I just want to stop this train and go back home again. I want to be, a kid with my parents again. And he sees that he's getting ready to die. And the lyrics go, stop this train. I want to get off and go home again. I can't take this speed. It's moving in. I know I can't, because now I see I'll never stop this train. And it's, this is life as we live it. And as I get into my, I guess mid-30s, 35 now. I'm starting to get to the crest of that hill. You start off and it's dust to dust. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm middle-aged. If you go by 3 score and 10, half of my life is gone. So I'm cresting the hill and now it's going to start getting faster and faster and here comes my demise and I'll be over and I'll be gone. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. But as I read this passage, and you really stop and think that all the stuff we've done our whole lives and everything we've done, you know, going to school, going to work, being a parent, taking care of the kids, taking care of the lawn, taking care of this, you know, helping friends, all that stuff. Eating right, setting and achieving, you know, uncovering six-pack, all that. What's the point of it all? It's so fleeting, and we're going to be gone so soon. Our life is but a vapor. And that's what our life is without purpose and without God. And when you think about it, like I said, most people don't make the history books. Everything about us will be gone, 2 to 3 generations tops. I mean, who has fond memories of spending great times with their great-grandparents? Not very many people. 2 generations away, and they're gone. Nobody remembers them. Everybody dies, and everybody forgets, and it's just, it's gone. Like the song Kansas says, all we are is dust in the wind. But that's, you know, that's really how it is. And when you just think about it like that, that it's just going to be dust and gone soon. It just seems so bleak. Does anybody else realize this? How fragile and quick this is? And you make sure you answer the question, why is it this way? Why are we born into such a dreary existence? Because, you know, Ecclesiastes describes it to a T. If you turn back to Genesis 3, I can tell you exactly why things are this way. Because you see the bleakness and the sadness of that picture, and you just think, how dare you, God? How dare you do this to me? But in Genesis 3:17, you see in 17, this is going on. God's talking to Adam. He says, because you listened to your wife and disobeyed me, you ate of the tree which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And in verse 18, you see the thorns and thistles. But verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was that, you know, that's a great thing. Here I started off, I'm Adam, I'm king of the earth, I'm ruler of the whole planet, under the authority and headship of God, now I'm headed for dirt. Wow, that's strange. It says, thou shalt return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Romans 5 puts it a little bit differently. It says, for by one man sin, and death by sin, and so death passed. So this condition that we have of quickly rising up, then turning to a dirt sandwich, it's because of sin. It's because of Adam, what he did to us. And what we do most of our lives is we ignore the reality of it all. Because who wants to... the past 10 minutes, hasn't that been great, everybody? I mean, talk about giving you a smile. Nobody wants to think about it. So, you know, we write songs like Turn, Turn, Turn and Dust in the Wind, and we, you know, whistle past the graveyard and don't think about it. Just, that's life. That's the way life goes. It's the circle of life. And don't pay it, you know, nothing to see here. I don't want to think about this because I know I'm on the downhill of the train. And I'd rather ignore it. Well, we do better to accept the reality of what this is and understand almost worthlessness of this existence that we were born into thanks to Adam, thanks to what he brought in. We should be honest and say, you know what? Galatians 1:4 is right. This is a present evil world. Go, one of the best sites for news is, it's a UK paper. But you can get the whole world in a snapshot, just the way they aggregate the news. And you just... I can't go to it very much because you look at one page and just the evil and the horror and the wickedness and the sorrow in this planet is just, it's like that verse, the whole creation is groaning and travailing. It's just horrible. But we need to accept that. That's the way life goes. You know, that's the way life goes. Who's driving this awful train? This is terrible. This is not, lots of people in churches today think they're in the kingdom. And I'm serving King Jesus in the kingdom. And I just, have you read a newspaper in the past 10 years? if this is the kingdom, we need to fire the king. Sorry. No, it's not the kingdom. This is a present evil world. And Ephesians 2:2, turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 2, we'll start at verse 10. We talk about turn, and who's driving this train, and the time to this and a time to that, and it all just keeps going and going. The course of this world is run by somebody that I don't think you want it run by. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past, now Paul's here, he's reminding them from whence they came. He says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Turn. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is the guy driving the train is the devil. The prince of the power of the air, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the devil. So that's just the way life is. That's just the way the devil would like this world running. That's the course of this world. You don't want to be involved with. That's just the way life is. I don't want to work for him. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to be part of that. And John Mayer asked, how can I stop this train? How can I stop this? You can't stop it. It's on the course. But you can jump off the train. You can't stop the course of the world. Only one guy is going to do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can get off. You're in Ephesians 2. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So that course from dust to dust. And the best thing we had to look forward to is enjoy what we have now before we croak. But he quickened us. We're now made alive. We're broken the cycle. We're not part of the cycle anymore. We're quickened. We're made alive in Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, back to Adam, dust to dust, we were dead. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Not only are we made alive now, we've broken the cycle, we've gotten away from that. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heaven, Christ Jesus. We've got a seat in heavenly places now. We're not even part of it. Toward us. Glory! Hooray! Praise God. We've got a system. And God's provided a way through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ for us to get off the dust express. The dust to dust express. And we're not stuck anymore. And this life is not all there is anymore. We have for something more. There's going to be, they like to say when they're preaching in prisons, it'll be greater later, boys. You're not getting out, but it'll be greater later. Well, that's truth. Not only are we saved from this cycle, but we've got this seat in heaven we've never seen. What's that going to be like? But he's telling us, when you get to sit in that seat, I'm going to show you the exceeding riches of my grace. We're set away from that. We're 4 and 10, and then the power of the gospel. When people, his payment on that cross, his death, his burial, and resurrection is enough. That's an awesome thing, and it gives you free. And all of a sudden, grave always wins. Grave always wins. Well, now value. Something that's not just going to be dirt again. And it's funny when taking all that into consideration, when you think about it, you go ask a question, what are your goals for the new year? You who've broken that cycle and gotten away from that mess that you hear Joe Sixpack at not six-pack. Joe Six. You'd expect to hear something very different from the average lost person when you ask a Christian, "What are your New Year's resolution, Christian child?" But you know, it's 2:10. It's not a guarantee. It's a should. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. Think about the cycle and the mess and how much we have to be grateful for and thankful for. Come first. I mean, he's giving me, you know, I've got, well, let's turn our earth here into a pie chart. You know, 1/3 of your time. So 2/3 of your time, then, you know, well, you got to, with work and all that, you've got another, let's call it 10 hours a day, and then you got to eat, and then you got to, yeah, by the end of it all, you don't have very much discretionary time left. Body alive, keep food on the table and keep a roof over your head. You don't have very much discretionary time. So when you prioritize, I do that last one. He's last. We forget. It's, well, I guess I should read my Bible this month. You know? That's what we do. Rich Christian, what are your New Year's resolutions? Uncover. Eat. Travel. Have a more organized. Never smoke. Somebody who's just on the dust-to-dust train. And priorities or resolutions match the same thing that everybody who's on the dust-to-dust train, walking according to the course of this world, these poor souls, we match them? It's crazy. You know, it's like we've gotten off the train, and we see the train running, and we're running along beside it. Hey, can I join you in there? It's crazy what we do. That vacation, ultimately, always want to go to. Christian, and it goes. There's a lot of their Christianity. They're Jesus is sitting in heaven. Oh, when's Keith going to get up so I can bless him? I don't got anything else to do. You know, they self their life. Part of the problem. That's above. Do it. So what's left? I can see here, you know, the world I can see. The up having your what's important place affection that determines. Love something, enamored of it, and I really, it means something. Find in my little sliver of time left, I'm going to find guys like video, whatever, and they play video games. Or, yeah, girls like the scrapbook. Oh, my girl like the scrapbook. Your affection set on, you're going to make time for it. We need to make time on things. And understand, I talk about all these terrible things and the circle of life and all that to help us understand in Romans 6, understanding who you are in Christ helps. Because the day you trust Christ's pain, you didn't see anything happen. It takes you a long time to realize what Christ has done for you, who God has made you in Christ. And part of it is understanding who you are. Have you had a great day? 6:18. Heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered. Got broke free from that, but I'm not just supposed to stand around here and, well, what do I do now? I become a servant. That's who you are. To do that, they're meaningless. At the end, I had his whole basement was a giant. I mean, this basement and realistic buildings and what for? Dead. Man, with my fraction of time that I have left, turn over to Philippians 3. Now, the man that ordained me, the email he sends me ends with here in Philippians 3. Now remember, Paul was an all-star. He was the cream of the crop, top educated, zealous. He was in that system as a lost man, rejecting Christ. He was nobody better than him. And look what he says in start in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. All the stuff I used to love, all the stuff I used to do, all the stuff I used to spend my time on, I count lost now. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord. All that things, and do count them but dung. That is a word that most farmers know. Poop. I was zealous and Benjamin, so Pharisee, poop. That's forgetting who he was. Now he's warning. May win Christ. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind. And I'm pressing on to something that's not turn, dust to dust. I've got a high call. And the not just, and at the end of the day, get is I can enjoy more. It's a calling, and it's eternal, lasting things. And what my purpose, what would have me to do to look at situations and all that, it changes everything. Over my six pack. 1 Timothy 4:8. Probably little, but godliness is profitable. How? Look at me. Those ripples. At six pack. Great. Next is to come. Maybe. This year, godly, to try to do better. And you failed this year, act very ungodly. Align myself with godliness this year. That exercise into walk. I'm going to walk worthy this year. That's okay. That was a bad. Some of them got to be clunkers. But you know, that's something. And that's something. What about eating better? I'm going to eat better. Laura's husband calls me the Mr. Fusion. Because Richard jumped into the Mr. Fusion and the car takes off. That's what he calls me. Because, you know, you can eat anything and you're fine. You know, so I'm not really. But, you know, you talk about eat better. And we're so worried about what we feed ourselves and what we feed our kids, and I fight with my wife all the time, you know, gluten-free, not gluten-free. Really, you know, microwave, you can't cook in the microwave. You're... Yes, dear, I'll dirty another pot and wait 20 minutes for it to heat up. But we're so concerned about what we're putting in our bodies and the food and... That's great, that, you know, and now I'm sure that profits a little. But what about the high calling about what we put in us? Turn over to Colossians 3. We're so worried about food and radio waves and is the Wi-Fi going to give me brain cancer? What about what we're putting in our spirits and our children? That's the only part of us. But yet we don't spend any time on what we're giving our spirits. Look at Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How about that for a New Year's resolution? I'm going to be more thankful this year. That would be a good one for me. I'm by nature a pessimistic person. I'm looking on the... How can this go wrong? Can this get messed up? How about, I'm going to be more thankful this year. Thanks be to God, I'm off the train. And He's given me a purpose and a life. That's a resolution for a Christian. But look at this. What about what you put in you? Put in that spirit. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How much word of Christ are we feeding our souls and our spirits on a daily basis? How often do we make a choice? You know, I could sit and read my Bible. I could read my Bible to my kids, or I could study, but instead, boy, those hedges sure need trimmed. So what? They're gonna die too. They're dust to dust. Prioritize on what we put in our spirits. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And look at this. Songs. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we need to be feeding our spirits, that the word of Christ and spiritual songs and hymns. Timothy 2:15, we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. We need to be putting that word in us on a daily basis. That's a good resolution. Challenge. Challenge. challenge yourself, I will read the Bible for 1 minute every day. It's not a big commitment. In our little pie chart there, that's not much time. If you only do a minute, you are getting a minute of the Word of Christ put into your spirit on a daily basis. And what often happens is you sit down for a minute, and you're there for 5, or you're there for 10, or you're there for 15. And that is feeding your spirit. That's doing something that lasts and something that's eternal. Or traveling more. I love to travel. We took the kids on a... We were trying to decide where to take the kids on vacation this year. And I told her, I don't want to go someplace I've been. I want to see someplace new. Nothing wrong with that. But am I going to sit down and, my priority this year in 2014 is I'm going to travel more. So I see a nice place. Oh, well, what did that do for eternity? Nothing. But we need a good resolution for us would be to teach other people how to travel. What am I talking about? Turn over to Colossians 1. We need to teach other people how to travel. This goes back to priority number one in our lives. Priority number one should be ambassador. I didn't put the word ambassador in the church's name because I wanted a really long ambassador. I needed 4, so... No, it's our job. It's priority number one. We are to be ministering the gospel. If you go to our little website, first thing, the gospel. That wasn't an accident. It's because it's priority number one. But I said we need to teach people to travel more. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That word translated means. We look at the word translate and you think Chinese to English. But the original meaning of the word to travel from one place to another. So we the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We need to teach other people how to travel. So that would be a good New Year's resolution. I will make it a point that I will give the gospel to this person or that person. Every one of us has people in our life that need to hear the gospel. I will this year talk to them. Every day this year, I will give the gospel to someone. Whatever your resolution is like, that's a resolution that we need to do to teach other people how to travel from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that's, like I said, it's our job. We shouldn't have to resolve, when I had a job, I didn't have, this year I'm going to show up for work. No, it's my job. I have to. That's the same thing with us. We should be walking in those works. We should be transmitting the gospel. But, real quick, and we'll finish up. We talk about resolutions and changing your priorities and goals, and it's just as hard to keep your spiritual resolutions as it is to stay at the gym past 3 weeks. I remember I used to call them the New Year's cloggers. When I was working out every day, it's like, from the first 3 weeks of January, I got all these people in my way. I can't wait till they fall off the wagon and I can have my gym back. But it's just as hard with spiritual things. We can get all fired up for God and I'm going to do it. 3 weeks later, you just don't do it. But it's not easy. But we're commanded to do it. In 2 Timothy 2, the analogy given here by Paul is warfare. Be there. And who said, I'm signing up for the army for this? Nobody wants that, but that's the analogy. Or Second Timothy 2. Nope. 1 Timothy 2. I did this again. I always get it to the who I want to be saved. Yeah, no, I was right the first time. Second time, sorry, I was looking at the wrong page. That's why they pay me the big bucks. But he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that war, so I'm a soldier, I'm in a war. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Soldier, you're now fighting for me. Why are you running alongside the train? Is the point that's being done. You're in a war. You're serving Christ. Don't get all entangled up with this. Use that little bit of time that you have left for me. And I'll close with this. The guy that sends me the email, press on. When you think about pressing on, if you're pressing, you're meeting against you, something trying to stop you if you're on it. So if resistance and it's hard and it just feels like, oh, here we go again. It's probably a good indicator you're heading the right direction. You're doing the right thing. If you're meeting resistance and it's pressure. So that's something that I would encourage us all to do as we make our goals for New Year 2014, that we remember who we are in Christ and what the most important things are and what lasts and press rather than just like every other planet. So that is all I have for this week.